Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. I am Dan, and I'm usually joined by my best friend, Sean, but unfortunately, he couldn't be here because he has contracted a very highly contagious disease that has been hospitalized, and the doctors think it's very grim, and we don't know how much time he has left. This week, though, we had Kanye West and Lil Pump apparently collaborate on a project that was great. Not really. There's a little more Kanye West news and a little more Lil Pump news. There's albums from Lenny Kravitz, Zoo, and Chilly Gonzalez, but kind of, and basically a lot happened this week, and it sucks that I can't have Sean here because that was a joke earlier, by the way. Sean is sick and really can barely speak, and he will live, but he is not on this episode. And there's a lot of things I would love to talk to him with him about. Specifically, Tommy Rook released a new single this week. There are some albums that came out. That we're going to have a No Chill Island because Cardi B and Nicki Minaj got in a fight and Lil Pump is going to jail. But it's just really hard to have that like kind of long, extensive conversations about those things. So I'm going to do my best, but mostly just talk about the big... So here's what I'm going to do this episode. I'm going to talk about Mac Miller. His death was kind of happened this week and really shocked a lot of people out there. So I have some words about that. I'll go through the album reviews really fast, and then I'll go through the news you really need to know. So this will be a really quick episode. You'll just like kind of get the gist of those things, because I'm a shorter person, so there we go. But yeah, RIP Mac Miller. He died of an apparent drug overdose, and he was apparently 26 years old. Not apparently, I mean, we knew this. He was 26 years old. He has been really well remembered by a lot of different people in the music industry. I mean, a lot of people sent out their well wishes to Mac Miller, from Future to Solange to Chance the Rapper to J. Cole to Khaled to Ellen DeGeneres to Questlove to... A lot of people had good words and good things to say about Mac Miller, because when you read about him, when you look at him as an artist, well, as a person, before we go to as an artist, but as a person, he just seemed to be the kind of human being who would... do their best to make sure that like you felt seen, that you felt there. I read one story where there was an artist who was up and coming, and Mac Miller bought some of his merch and had his security guards wear that artist's merch. Even if they didn't know who he was, he just wanted that young artist to feel known and respected. And I think that's a really positive and empowering thing that Mac Miller did. As far as music goes, we just reviewed an album that Mac Miller released, Swimming, I believe is the name of it, and it came out just a couple weeks ago. You can listen to that on an episode of Audio Face a couple ago. I'll get you that in a moment, but episode 58 or 59? Give me one moment. It's 59. So check Audio Face episode 59 for our, like, actual Mac Miller Swimming review. Sean and I mostly liked it. I felt it was a tiny bit forgettable, but not necessarily. It did this really nice sort of blending the lines and surfing it really well between R&B and rap. And it was something that was absolutely very refreshing to hear. I'm not just saying that in hindsight. We've had artists before, and unfortunately, because this is a thing that happens a lot, we've had artists where we review an album, someone in that band or that group or that artist loses their life, and when we reviewed that album, we didn't like it, and we're very straight up with it. But this is not one of those cases. Mac Miller's album and his music was really generally very good. He was a very talented person, and like many artists and musicians and people out there, honestly, they just suffer from drug overdoses because they're using these drugs as an escapism from the profound pain and suffering that they're not really able to work through. There's some garbage going on the internet around this, and I just want to address it really briefly. People are saying that Ariana Grande, because Ariana Grande broke up with Mac Miller just a few months ago, that this is her fault for it. And Ariana Grande mentioned during the breakup or surrounding the breakup that Mac Miller had a drug issue and that it was starting to interfere with their relationship. you should never feel the need in general, and Ariana Grande is not responsible for this, but you should never feel the need to stay in a relationship with someone who is self-destructive or showing bad behaviors, especially when those behaviors end up bleeding to you, regardless of how much you care about them. Because when you're really trying hard and still you're not really making any progress anywhere, then any kind of effort you're putting into that is just self-destruction on your own part, and it's not necessary. You can't help someone who can't help themselves, but that's me getting off of my soapbox for now. These deaths are really tragic. It's a topic that sometimes we're a little funny with on Audio Face because these, truthfully, mental health, all of these different stories are very close to Sean and I. And with anything that's really close and serious, we deal with it in dark humor. That's just our friendship, our relationship, and people kind of like that and enjoy that. But understanding that that comes from a place of behind all that, really understanding and empathizing with the pain that these people go through. And really, I can just hope the best for family, friends of Mac Miller. They're definitely hurting the most, but his fans. It's hard to lose an artist you really care about. And this is an artist who, unlike many artists we've talked about, or unlike a lot of artists we've talked about, is really worth remembering. So that's really all I've got to say about Mac Miller. Let's hit to some more big news that happened this week that you just need to know from the music world. Quavo's going solo. That's a thing. Quavo from Migos, he's going to be solo. No longer with Migos, but he's doing his own album. I think it's called Huncho. It's coming out in September. It's probably going to be horrible, and we'll probably listen to it. But, this was bound to happen. The artist kind of going solo, going their own ways. It'll be interesting to see Takeoff's project that he does on his own. But that's the thing. I think someone said it really well. I think Bill Simmons actually said that you could pull one of the Migos aside and say, hey, you know how you're making this much money but splitting it between three people? Imagine making that much money and splitting it between one person. But it remains to be seen whether or not any of the Migos alone will be more successful than the trio. I think it's possible just because music is shitty and is always how it happens, but it's also possible and I think more reasonable to believe that neither of the Migos has a lot of like musical staying power or enough staying power to really stand out and do anything more than spin out as musicians, but that's just my take. Some other news I thought was really interesting to note. Spotify is making deals directly with artists. So Spotify, as you know, makes deals with record labels so that the music that you listen to and you enjoy can end up on Spotify. And the same thing with other platforms as well. Tidal's kind of a little different, but more or less similar. They make deals with the big record labels to license that music. And then Spotify pays a bunch of money that they make from the revenues that you pay for your subscription. And you get to listen to the music. And it's great. Of course, Spotify can cut out the middleman in this instance and start working with musicians themselves and act as their labels, providing some incentives and things like that compared to traditional record labels, which people often see as unfair and not giving artists enough credit financially for their work. But yeah, it appears that Spotify, even though they're making some really low-level deals, like, the numbers aren't that big. They're apparently handing out cash advances to artists to sign with them, to independent artists to sign with them, and, yeah, treat Spotify as a record label. Now, will Spotify have the scale and the ability and the power that a record label traditionally has? Like, one of the big ones, Warner, Universal Music Group? Who knows to say? Most likely not. These people are big for a reason. People don't just come in the middle of the night and take over your business. But I mean, it happens over time. Amazon was a really funny idea for Borders and Barnes & Noble in the 90s. And now you're more likely to know what Amazon is and less likely to know what Barnes & Noble and Borders is. Just in that kind of short 20-ish year time span. So tech companies can totally replace these big music industry companies and labels too, but it's not set in stone, and it's a big uphill battle to climb. But it's a changing dynamic for the music industry, and maybe artists will get paid more. Maybe, not really. There's some like war clash battle news, okay? So you have Meek Mill versus Drake. That's not happening anymore. Meek Mill and Drake hugged it out at a concert. They'd previously had a beef where Drake kind of dunked on Meek Mill, and he hadn't come back from that. But Meek Mill's been kind of a social hero for some reason, because his case got turned into a case for mistreatment of people of color in the carceral system, especially involving bail practices. We've talked about this in audio phase before. It's not my favorite battle, but nevertheless, Meek Mill and Drake have fixed their beef a little bit. Kanye has also apologized to Drake, making sure that he had another Drake beef news, saying that he had nothing to do with the story of Adidon, which was Pusha T's like response to, well, like, it had nothing to do with the Pusha T beef in general, the Pusha T Drake beef. And then, of course, Kanye produced the album that Pusha T's first shot in the beef came from. And there were clips and video of Kanye and Drake and Pusha all gathering together in Kanye's Wyoming music hole. And it was kind of speculated that somewhere over there, the information got handed over and then handed into the wrong hands, and Pusha T decided to go into kill mode. But let's just look at this for what all it is. Whether you read into Kanye being genuine or not in all of his interviews, where he's trying to walk back sounding like a total idiot on TV, it's just an obvious play for the fact that Drake is a very successful artist who has a lot of money for making mediocre music. And if you can get featured on that mediocre soundtrack, then you can get some of that money as well for very little effort. And so everyone's trying to align themselves that way. I don't believe in peace. And that's not just because I want music to continue to be a little ratchet. Make America Ratchet Again, Mara. No, it's not just because I find the random violence, not random violence, but like random beefs and spats within rap kind of interesting and fun. I'm just trying to be a little more transparent about this. So I think what I'm trying to say is I can see through some of these antics and look at the business decisions behind them. Let's see. What other news is there? Really fast, just some quick hits that would have been fun to talk about with Sean, but Lil Pump is going to jail. His managers are taking the wheel. Lil Pump has to go to jail because he violated probation. He was driving without a license and driving a car with the wrong plates on it. Good fucking job. Lil Pump will be in jail for a few months. Meanwhile, his album that we had hoped he would just lost forever is going to be released later this month. Maybe if Sean finds his voice back or decides to not, we'll review it next week. Tekashi 6ix9ine got Miley Yiannopoulos. He got protested off of a college campus, which I think is just amazing. I'm no politics. That's like the joke about this show. And I've made kind of an offline, online career about calling these people out, the college campus free speech people who use that as their like cudgel for arguing extremist ideas. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequences. And if you're going to say something dumb that a lot of people are going to really disagree with, and you continue to do it, you have the right to say that, but people also have the right to take matters into their own hands. Not that I endorse it, but you can call, like, someone can call your mom a bitch, but if they're not going to prepare to get their ass kicked for doing so, it's not the same as freedom of speech. Freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences. That being said, Tekashi 6ix9ine, students just didn't want someone like Tekashi 6ix9ine, a like person who's accused of underage child abuse, to perform at their school, and so they protested, they shut it down. Good for them. Vanilla Ice got quarantined. He was on a plane from Dubai to New York, and the plane got quarantined. And it was a really scary story for a couple minutes, because America has a interesting history with planes coming from the Middle East and bad things happening to them in September, but nevertheless, it just seemed like a flu outbreak. And better yet, you even read the story and you realize exactly how this flu outbreak happened on the plane. It spread at the bottom of the plane, where like the basically economy class and like that group of people, basically the economy standard working class, middle class people on that part of the plane. And the top part of the plane had no flu outbreak there. And people on the top of the plane were kind of just confused as to what was going on even. So Vanilla Ice tweeted from the top of the plane, noting that, oh, a bunch of ambulances have come here to take people off from the bottom of the plane. I don't even know what's going on. I'm too rich to catch the flu. So that happened there. I can't believe I'm burying the lead here, but Cardi B and Nicki Minaj got into it. They started having a fight. Apparently it started because Nicki Minaj said something about culture, but that's a culture being Cardi B's and Offset's daughter. Welcome to 2018. It's unclear, like unconfirmed, if that's how it started. We can't say that. What we can say is that Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have had a beef that has been going on for a while. It's been an on again, off again thing. It seemed to be more of like a Nicki Minaj whiling out, but you never know. And Cardi B seems to have been kind of chill and was ready to make amends about all of this fairly recently. But ever since Nicki Minaj has been on this tour for Queen, and now she's been upset that it hasn't been beating Travis Scott, and she's gone on this like pity party anger tour where she's just attacking journalists and kind of just acting out in a way that's not productive for a public image look. It seems like she's just having kind of a public meltdown. And if you're looking at the situation, you're more inclined to believe, or at least I'm way more inclined to believe, that this is something that is more Nicki Minaj's fault. Like, Nicki Minaj started shit and Cardi B is about to fight back. Either way, this was in a club in New York, I want to say, and Cardi B tried to throw a shoe and she was subdued by security there and was escorted away from the building. So, rat beef. It's there. Let's transition a little bit into music, or if you want to call this music, but Lil Pump and Kanye West did a collaboration thing. Because it's, I guess, a song. It's kind of a catchy song that just relies on very simplistic bass, not even a Kanye style messing with vocals kind of thing, but yeah, it's just got that simplistic bass line. Nothing remarkable from Lil Pump, nothing remarkable from Kanye West, but it's all part of the whole Pornhub Awards thing that Kanye is a part of. And he made some merch for it. Kanye's ridiculous. But really fast, I want to talk about these three albums that came out this week. And there's a little bit something weird about each of them. Lenny Kravitz's Raised Vibration is Lenny Kravitz's latest album. He's released, really, let me tell you the long and short of this album. Lenny Kravitz has not really changed his core sound and style, which was really good back in 2001 or 2002. There have been a couple of decent songs since then, but really, I haven't seen Lenny Kravitz grow, and this album was kind of a painful reminder of that. Raised Vibration, which is 12 songs long and 1 hour, 4 minutes long, it's mostly just musically a repetition of most of what Lenny Kravitz has always done, which would have almost been okay, but he kind of just lyrically beats you over the head with this super overly positive idea and image and spin around things. These lyrics that are just like not subtle at all. It's just like, be nice, be kind, everyone's friendly, lovely, everyone's lying to you, don't trust. It's almost like the fake woke, Trump is president now, I guess that's sad music that Sean and I would just complain about all the time back in 2017. It's like that, but not overtly political, but just too preachy, and it just distracts from an otherwise kind of lackluster album. And so on my Instagram story, instagram.com/danfromyournet, I joked about talking about the Zoo concert that I went to. And this isn't actually a segue for Zoo, although I'm gonna talk about that in about a minute. But I did wanna say that I asked in a poll if I should talk about Zoo and that concert on my Instagram story. And I know I was being obnoxious, but people wanted me to do it anyway. So I'm going to use the Zoo concert as a ranking scale. One Zoo concert is 100. So if you get a 100, you're very good. You're as good as a Zoo concert, which is a very good concert. I'm gonna give this a 0.4 or a 0.5. This doesn't mean it's horrible per se, but Lenny Kravitz is such a great name and such a great talent. And I love to see a person of color just like rocking out and just having fun with it, but it's just a really boring album that's kind of stagnant of an artist. and people are going to be fans and are going to love it, and it's doing well in a lot of different countries, but it just doesn't, it's just really boring. It's really forgettable. So, not a big hands up for me there. Zero released Ringo's Desert, which is a little bit interesting. An Audioface 46, the opposite of 64, kind of, maybe, I can math. We reviewed Ringo's Desert Part 1, which was Zoo releasing half of the album, and we reviewed it. So Zoo kind of lured his way into doing, getting two album reviews from Audioface, because this is the second half of the album that's been released, but now it's just all been released as one. So I kind of, and Sean and I talked about that a little bit in episode 46. The first 7 or 8 songs are all the same, but Zoo is really good. He's a really good DJ. He does a lot of things not that are dissimilar from the basic kind of EDM where it's just build up, build up, build up, drop. It's a lot of messing with progressive house and instrumentation and a lot of music from different cultures and different musical inspirations. There's Temin Paula, there's Tokyo Monster, there's Erzlin, Horizon, that's interesting. Carnival Blues, there's a couple features on here, but every feature feels like it adds something to the album. And whereas Generation Y was more of like a kind of a complete project, I guess, where it felt more like an album, Ringo's Desert, while definitely is an album, it's kind of a collection of darker, definitely more clubby beats, whereas Generation Y had a lot of range and felt more like a traditional album, where you have some high songs, some low songs, you know, just kind of something you sit and listen to as opposed to something you go out and dance to. But either way, Zoo's really good at both, and a lot of songs hit tick both of those things as far as his entire discography goes. Ringo's Desert is just more on the like club banger dancer side generally. Ringo's Desert is about 0.8 Zoo concerts, so a little bit, not as good as a Zoo concert because seeing Zoo live is really great, but almost as good. And definitely great, but don't release Ringo's Desert Part 3. I'm definitely not reviewing it. Nice try, Zoo. And nice try. Last thing we're going to review is Chilly Gonzalez's Solo Piano 3. Would be really great to have Sean here if he wasn't currently coughing up a lot of phlegm. But Solo Piano 3 is just a piano album. All these songs on it are just piano melodies. There's like a prelude in C minor. Like it's that level of piano. And Chilly Gonzalez as an artist has always kind of mixed piano with pop. And it's been a really cool mixture before, but this is just kind of a bare bones piano just piece. And it's an album of piano tunes and things that go together, which means there's no drum keeping a standard 4/4 time lineation. The music kind of flows along with the melody of the piano. And if you're not used to listening to that kind of music, it's a very interesting exercise and something that's very nice to see, kind of the where piano really goes. It's the star instrument in a lot of musician workflows for a reason, and in general in music for a reason, such a key instrument, no pun intended with the keyboard. But it's 38 minutes long, I want to say. Let me pull it up. It's 38 minutes long. It's not got a lot of songs, 15 songs. Every song's pretty short, but I absolutely say give it a listen. It's not going to sound like anything popular, and it's, again, I'd love to have Sean here because he'd be able to appreciate these kinds of pieces more than I do, because it's not that I don't like it. It's just a big jump from what I would usually listen to, which is more poppy or, we review very contemporary music on Audioface, and most contemporary music has more than just one instrument used in it. Nevertheless, this is just totally a piece of art. I really liked it. I'd give it like 0.6 or 0.7 Zoo concerts. So 70% of a Zoo concert, which I think is pretty damn good. That's pretty much all the music things I have to talk about to you. I want to give you a full episode, so I'm glad you're getting this. I hope you're glad you're getting this. I mean, last minute, Sean being super sick, me having to put this together. But I really appreciate that you're listening to this if you really are. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. We love talking about people's music recommendations. Whenever people message in, we'll respond back. I've been also listening to music, taking people's music recommendations on my personal Instagram at Dan from the Internet, and it's really fun to kind of get all of your music recommendations and respond to them and listen to them and get opened up to new different kinds of music. I think I'll do an episode on that on some point, just to broaden the audience of that. To share all those musical recommendations with folks. So I'll do that. Anyways, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week, where hopefully Sean will be back and we'll have more music to discuss. This will be fun. Everything's fun. Yeah, seriously, thank you humans for listening, and I'll talk to you, along with Sean, maybe, in the next episode. Cheers!